If you would, be turning with me in your Bibles over to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, and we are here in the fifth chapter once again. Mark in the fifth chapter, and we are working our way, of course, through this little book, this Gospel now. We've been going through it now for several months, and these last couple of weeks, I believe, we've had some really exciting pieces of Scripture to look for us and in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And as I began to think about all of the things that we're reading and how exciting some of these things are, I am reminded of how John chapter 21 and verse 25 ends. And it says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if it be should written every one, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." John readily admitted in his gospel that there was a lot of things in the ministry of Christ that could be written about that were not written about. And though Mark does not make that same statement, we understand that statement truly applies to his gospel as well. There are many things that Mark could have written but were not included. The Holy Spirit didn't impress those things upon Mark, but the Holy Spirit did impress upon him the things that we are reading about here these last few weeks, and he has impressed them upon us in order that we might believe. Believe in what, you ask? Well, Mark is attempting in Scripture as of late to show us indeed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And in believing, we might have life everlasting. And folks, that is the power of the gospel message right there. So as we have seen in the last couple of weeks, Mark is really pushing our focus to the fact that Jesus Christ is more than a man. Jesus Christ is more than a prophet. We have Mark showing him there upon the Sea of Galilee, having power over the winds and waves there at the end of chapter 4. And then last week as we began chapter 5, we saw the power of Jesus Christ with nothing more than his voice commanding thousands upon thousands of demons that were entered into that maniac of the Gadarenes. Now Mark moves on to the third great event to show the power of Jesus over the supernatural to prove to us indeed that he is the Son of God. So today we want to pick up in our reading in verse 21 of this fifth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And we're going to read verse 21 through the end of the chapter. And I admit to you that that is a long discourse for us. But it does show this third great event that Mark uses to compel our knowledge to the fact that he is the Son of God. But that being said, that third event that we have, the rising or the restoration of life of one that is dead, between the maniac and that, there is this other little event that is sandwiched into that same event. And this event doesn't necessarily point to the fact that he's the Son of God, but it does point to the fact that he is indeed the Messiah. And I've had a great struggle this week as to whether to present to you one long discourse or whether to break it up in two. So what do y'all think I decided to do? I'm breaking it up in two, okay? I figured y'all would appreciate that more. I know y'all got ham waiting for you. So we're going to read beginning in verse number 21 through the end of the chapter here. It says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship to the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and there was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that a virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, that is pushing against you, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler's synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh into the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? For the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered wherein the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway the damsel arose and walked. She was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with the great astonishment. He charged them straightly that no man should know, and commanded something should be given her to eat. Now, as I said, that's a long discourse. We're not going to be looking at all of those verses today. Some of those we will reserve for next time. But verse 21, let's start there for just a moment. It says, and when Jesus was passed over again, By ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Now you might recall the timing of the events here. Jesus had been on the western shore of the Galilee, around the city of Capernaum. He had been preaching there, and we understand that Capernaum was kind of a central location for him to be at. He would often go back and forth there and stay, likely at the home of Peter. But he had been there teaching the masses. We understand in Scripture that it tells us that people came from all over, from Jerusalem, from even outside of Israel. As they heard about Jesus, they come to hear about him. And you might recall of how Jesus was out there in that little boat there that one particular day, and the masses were lined up on the hillside, listening to them. And from there he departed, of course, to go to the other side, seemingly under the guise of rest, but we understand there was a purpose in that as well. On the way, Jesus indeed calmed that storm. The people were scared of the storm, and then they were scared of him because of the power that he had over him. And then he went to the other side where he cast out the demons, plural, out of that man, the maniac of Gadara. And the people there in that area pushed Jesus out. They wanted him to go back. They didn't want him there because they feared him. So now Jesus comes back to this same spot that he left. There's been a lot that's gone on in the last 24 hours to show indeed that he was the Son of God. But now he's right back to the western shore near Capernaum. And as he comes to the shore, we see that the crowd that was there that he departed from not long ago is still there. They're still there waiting for him to return. Luke actually tells us that they gladly received him and were waiting for his return. And then as seemingly about as soon as he gets there, we have this man named Jairus. We're going to talk about Jairus a lot next week, not so much this week. But Jairus comes to Jesus because his daughter is ill to the point of death. Now, we're going to push back on his story just a few minutes, or well, till next week, Lord willing. But today, for the remainder of our time, we're going to bring our focus down to this woman that Jesus meets along the way, beginning in verse 24. So if you would, look with me there as we look at the faith that makes one whole. the faith that makes one whole. Verse 24 says, "And Jesus went out, or went with him, and as much people followed him and thronged him." Again, as I've mentioned in previous weeks, even though that we see that the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders have seemingly rejected Jesus Christ, and they've rejected him because he's hit a nerve with them. He doesn't follow the traditions of the elders, but also they find great fault with him because he had the audacity to heal someone on the Sabbath. I mean, can you imagine that? He healed one on the Sabbath, and of course that seemed to be the straw that broke the camel's back. But even though they seemingly rejected him, the public is following after Jesus. Again, not just a few, but masses are following. People coming from all over to listen to Jesus preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And besides that, we see in Scripture, besides the preaching, besides the teaching, that he healed many and cast out demons along the way. Now, the fact of the matter is that most of this crowd that came out to see Jesus didn't truly understand who Jesus was. They didn't understand that he was the Son of God. They weren't sure if he was yet the Messiah. There was many questions that they had, but the one thing they understood is this man seemed to be a man of God that had seemingly the power to do certain things. And they were interested in knowing that what he could do and to see what he could do. So many are trying to figure out what manner of man this was. But here we have this woman. This woman who seemingly knows. This woman who, not by flesh and blood, but through the power of the Holy Spirit guiding her, showing her just who Jesus truly is. This sick, this troubled woman has such great faith compared to just about anybody we've met so far in this gospel. Look in verse 25. It says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years." We may not know this lady's name, but rest assured that Jesus did. Jesus knew who she was. Jesus knew what ailment she had. He knew that she was in the crowd this day. There was nothing about this woman that Jesus did not know. Our woman in this text has a medical condition in which she has had a menstrual flow for 12 years. Week after week, month after month. Now, besides the medical repercussions of her condition, anemia, fatigue, and many other things that would go along with it, there was also repercussions upon her daily life as well, because her condition affected where all she could go and what all she could do. I want you to hold your place here in the Gospel of Mark for just a moment. And I want you to turn over to one of the most unexciting pieces of Scripture we're going to read today, but it is necessary yet to understand the plight of this woman. Look with me in Leviticus, your favorite book, Leviticus chapter 15, beginning in verse 19. Leviticus beginning in verse 19, or of chapter 15. It says, "And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until even. And whosoever toucheth anything that she set upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And if it be on her bed or anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until the even. And if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of her issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, she shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation, and whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and shall be unclean until even. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number herself 7 days. After that, she shall be clean. Now, you can make your way back to the Gospel of Mark. Now, in this scripture that we've read, we see here the lifestyle of a woman who had this issue of blood. Just during her regular cycle, we understand that she would be considered unclean during this entire time. During this time, contact with other people would be cut off because whomever she touched would then become unclean, whether it be her husband, her children, or whoever it might be. During this time, she could not go into the temple to worship because she was unclean. During this time, she could not go to the synagogue and worship because she was unclean. Everything she touched, everything that she sat upon was considered unclean in nature. And again, it was considered unclean until 7 days after she stopped. But our woman here in this text has been in this perpetual state now for 12 years. And because this has been going on, because she is a Jewish woman who is living under the law, indeed, this woman had probably done very little in the last 12 years. The things that we take for granted every day, this woman could not do because she was separated from the people around her. She was separated from a warm embrace, from a child or a husband if she had one of those. And the way Scripture reads, I don't think she did. You know, as you consider that touch, that contact with other people, it makes a difference in life, doesn't it? Touch makes a difference in life. Again, whether it's a hugging embrace or a pat on the shoulder or holding hands or a kiss on the cheek, people like being touched. It's almost a necessity to know that you are loved. To know that someone cares about you. You know, in my practice as a chiropractor, I have no doubt that especially older patients who don't have a lot of family, I have no doubt that many of them come in for nothing more than conversation and to be touched. But again, could you imagine going a whole week with not so much as a pat on your back? Or a month? A year? How about 12 years of no regular human interaction? And I hope that you're starting to understand that that long period of separation is not just medically draining, but it's emotionally daunting. Now couple that with the fact that this woman could not go, like I said, to the synagogue or to the temple. The place where, you know, you go to find refuge, that the place that you go to draw closer to God when no one else understands, and you can always go to God. You can always go to church and draw close to Him, right? Not this woman. She couldn't have that experience of doing that. She had to live her life secluded. Some of you all have had to be out of church for a while. You know what it's like to be away from your church family. You know what it's like to be away from the house of God. Again, magnify that by 12 years. This woman's living a nightmare. There's just no other way to describe it. She is living a nightmare of an existence. In verse 26, we get more insight into her life and her condition. It says, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. You know, desperate times call for indeed desperate measures, right? You know, today if this woman walked into a doctor's office, she would be set up to have a complete hysterectomy, which likely would fix her condition. She had nothing like that. Nothing like that could be offered. She went to the doctors that day, which no doubt tried every poultice, potion, and lotion that they could put their hands on, and she never got any better. As a matter of fact, she got worse. Not only was she worse physically, she was worse financially. She had spent nearly everything she had on the next guy who had something to offer. Some of y'all can probably relate to that, going to the doctor, right? Spend all you got. Just trying to stay alive. Now, we don't know where this woman was at. Or where she was from, I should say. Where she was from. Certainly everyone in Capernaum that had an illness had seemingly already made their way to Jesus. We see that early on in the Gospel of Mark. And I suspect this lady is not from Capernaum proper. But like much of the crowd that was following after Jesus, had come from other places. But now here's the thing. They traveled to the Sea of Galilee to see a man preach the kingdom with great authority. They came to see a man who seemingly had the ability to do great miracles. This woman traveled to see Jesus again because she recognized by the Holy Spirit that he was more than a prophet. She understood that he was indeed the Messiah. Maybe she first came to Capernaum in hopes of a miracle, but it wasn't long before she knew elsewhere. She knew more. She knew more about who he was. And maybe she'd come to him early. Maybe she'd been one of those people on the hillside as Jesus was in the boat and not able to get out to him. We just don't know the hows, the whens, and the wheres of when she became so convinced of who he was. But the passage that we read next shows us that this woman understood more than many of the disciples that followed Jesus. Look in verses 27 and 28. When she had heard of Jesus, came into the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Luke adds in his description later on that it was the hem of his garment. Now the fact of the matter is that many people have come to Jesus for healing. We've seen that over and over again. But you know what? No one has come and just touched his garment and been made whole. It hasn't happened. So the question is what would cause this woman to think that all she has to do is reach out and touch the hem of his garment to be made whole? Well, the answer to that, we have to travel back to the Old Testament once again. And again, hold your place here and now turn with me to the exciting book of Malachi. The exciting book of Malachi, and that's the last book, of course, of the Old Testament, and we're going to be in chapter number 4. Chapter number 4. Malachi is placed at the end of the Old Testament, because it ends with the hope of the coming of the Messiah. The last words actually prophetically speak to the one who'd prepare the way, one who'd come in the spirit of Elijah, which we understand was John the Baptist. But look in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, just a couple of verses here, and they may seem obscure to you as to the meaning, but let's talk about it here in just a moment. Verses number 1 and 2 says, "For behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall." Calves of the stall. Now the Son of Righteousness here is a prophetic name that Malachi uses for the Messiah. He's speaking of the Messiah. And in these two verses we read, we see, like we do in many of the Old Testament renderings of what would take place in the future, we have a mixture of what we see the first coming and the second coming of Jesus Christ. These minor prophets here at the end of the Old Testament speak much about his coming and his future coming. But this Messiah, though, the one that Malachi calls the Son of Righteousness, would come with healing in his wings. Now, the wings that are spoken there are not some angelic wings. It isn't speaking about the Messiah as having some kind of wings on his back like an eagle attached to his human frame. The word wings here actually refers to his garment. You see, the Jewish male was required to wear an outer garment called a tallit. And that tallit would be something that when the world saw, they would immediately know that they were a Jew. It was a dear garment to them. It was a precious garment to them. The garment was made as of such that it had four corners on it. And those four corners had fringes upon each one of the corners, tassels attached to those corners. And those tassels were tied in such a way, again, that it not only that somebody could pass by and notice that that was a Jew right away, but it would also remind them, of course, of the law, the commandments, those the way that they were tied of such. But the four corners of that garment, that tallit, are called the wings. The wings. When the passage here in Malachi says that he would have healing in his wings, it speaks the fact that he would have healing in the hem of his garment. So by now, I hope you can understand the significance of this act. When this woman said in her mind that all she had to do was reach out and touch the hem of his garment, it was because she recognized this man Jesus as the Son of Righteousness. She recognized this man Jesus as the Messiah. So then as we turn back our attention to the book of Mark once again, and now in verse 29, it says, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague." This woman in her unclean state, I want you to understand this, this woman in her unclean state should not have even been in the crowd, where she could have accidentally touched someone else and made them unclean. She comes to Christ. She didn't get in his way. She didn't plead and beg for a miracle. She knew because of who he was, all she had to do was reach out in faith. This woman has the greatest faith of anyone that we've come across in this gospel thus far. And her faith made her whole Now, the fact of the matter is Jesus could have gone on walking. She would have been healed just the same. He knew what had happened. And you know, as we look at maybe what some consider the smallness of this miracle, and I always say that because this is wedged between Jesus casting out the demons of the maniac of Gadarenes and restoring a girl to life. Okay? That's what it's wedged between. What would seemingly be the smallness of a miracle to anyone else was the greatest of miracles to her. It was everything to her. He immediately stops. And in verse 30, he says, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that a virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' The crowd was so great that everyone was touching him, but no one touched him in faith to be healed like this woman did." This woman thought he was indeed the Christ. Had faith that he was indeed the Christ. And she touched him in faith. And in verse 32 and 33 it says, "And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth." This woman, who is in the midst of this crowd, fell down at his feet at this moment and told him all of the truth. Told him about the years of pain. Told him about her years of sorrow. Told him of how she knew that if she just touched his garment, she would be made whole. And she was. She identified him as the Messiah to a crowd that hadn't quite figured it out. And now our last verse in this passage, he says in verse 34, "And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and behold thy plague.'" You know, sometimes it's easy to pass over a verse and just wrap it up as the end. You know, that kind of story. But it's a pretty amazing verse because of what Jesus says. He called her daughter. Daughter. You remember the beginning scene? It was Jairus with a 12-year-old daughter who was ready to die. And Jairus, being a ruler of the synagogue where Jesus had been preaching, knew Jesus, knew what he could do, sought him out because that's what dads would do for their daughter, right? They love them, they would do anything. Here's a man that can help her. He's going to get her, or get him, and bring him to her because he loved his daughter and he loved her unconditionally. But now get this. God in the flesh calls this woman daughter. You might say, no big deal. It's the only time Christ is ever recorded as calling someone daughter. This is it. Daughter. And I can't help but to see in this the great love that God had for this woman who probably felt pretty unlovable. And he speaks to her in the dearest of terms. He calls her daughter. He commends her faith and tells her to go out. Don't worry. Your faith has made you whole. No problem anymore. But here's the kicker. because of this event, because of her faith, you know what we read in the next chapter? See, y'all think that story is over with. Done, right? No, because of what she did, the next chapter in verse 56, it says, "And whithersoever he entered into the villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and he besought him that he might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many touched him were made whole." Did you get that? Because of her example of faith, it led others to faith in who he was, knowing that if he just walked by and they were in the streets and touched the hem of his garment, they too would be healed by the Son of Righteousness, the man with healing in his wings, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. You know what? I hope today that you know Jesus not as just a man, not as just a prophet in Galilee, but indeed the Son of Righteousness. Indeed, Jesus the Christ, who came to this earth to heal us from the curse of sin. And if you can reach out and touch him in faith, he will save your soul and make you whole this very day. Brother Randy.